We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jeff Cockicello, this is Chris Harrington.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Cockins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets starting at just $10. Go now to USFL.com. Chris, what are we listening to?
Shout out Reggie White.
Shout out Reggie White.
This is the Willie Nelson and Leon Russell version of the Cole Porter standard, Don't Fence Me In. Send that out to Ja Morant, who was fenced in a little bit at a media scrum yesterday. Now that he has gone through that, he will be returning to the wide open skies that he loves, the open court of the basketball floor tonight. Looking forward to that.
Where were you during the Showboats era?
I was living in Arkansas, and I was aware of the Showboats. I never went to a Showboats game. I did go to a couple of the NFL exhibition games that were held at the Liberty Bowl. I went to at least one of those. I remember seeing the Chiefs play in one of those, but I never went to a Showboats game.
All right. I guess we'll start with Ja. That was whatever. We're all anxious to get back and play and see how it goes and all of that. But right. What did you make of yesterday's event?
We can get into the substance of what was said, but I'll start by saying that, you know, it's something that he had to do, and I think he handled it well.
Right.
I'm not saying the Grizzlies were wrong to do this. I'm actually not sure about it, but it was a choice made to do it in that format, right? Have him standing. This is your typical after practice media availability. That's typically how they go.
Right.
But typically there's like 5 or 6 people there, not like 30, right? And so you're standing literally back against the wall and people surrounding you and jostling with each other for position. And there's no orchestration other than the very first question. There's no orchestration of who gets the question. So people are like, you know, talking over each other. And no one was really shouting, but people were trying to be very polite. But people, there's no like obvious you're trying to, you know, whatever. And they could have done it like they do, you know, post-game stuff where you sit at a table and you pass a microphone around. I think that would have been, you know, more comfortable, right? So was that wrong? Was that right? I don't know. I don't really have a firm opinion, but I think that's a real question. But that's the way they did it, and he got into it. It was only 9 minutes long, and I think the questions were not the Jalen Rose style, but they weren't particularly tough either.
No.
And I think he handled the situation well.
Well, and partly because of the format, there was you couldn't follow up on anything.
That's right.
You couldn't, and so because you couldn't follow up on anything, that's why it's not like the questioners were trying to just toss softballs either. There was no chance to say, when he talks about if you get into stuff, some of the stuff that he said that was more maybe touchy was, I don't want to talk about any of the local incidents because the stuff is under seal.
Right. Well, and he's teasing one of the reporters, don't you understand the law? And, she actually does.
He does understand the law. Right. Yeah, he can talk about anything he wants.
And she would have followed up and say, well, actually you can.
Right.
You know?
And instead he just looks to someone else and another question comes about something else. So I agree. I think it was, you had heard earlier that there might be a lot of, I already answered that to Jalen Rose, and there was almost none of that. Like, there was really none of that.
He referenced that interview, I think, once but
he wasn't trying to duck stuff.
No.
And I think you're right. It was an important thing that he had to go through, and he did it, and he handled it fine, and I don't know that anything particularly revealing came out of it. There were some things that might be slightly revealing. I thought what I wrote about today was, I did think when he said he looked uncomfortable,
yeah.
I thought he looked well, he said he was uncomfortable. I think he looks uncomfortable. It stands to reason he would be.
In some
it?
Ways, that's probably more notable than more of the specific fact-based news stuff in that this could have easily been a, I can't wait to get back out there, look out NBA, right. Here I come, rah, I'm coming for your head,
right.
Opposing players, like, here comes Ja. And it was not. There was a lot more vulnerability and uncertainty in how he talked about his return. Yeah, notably so.
In terms of the specific things, well, first of all, start with the fact that he may be. Does it matter that he might be coming off the bench tonight? Was that a surprise to you or whatever that Taylor Jenkins said that?
Moderate surprise. I would say it's not. I doubt he comes off the bench. I'm trying to get here so I can see you.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
With all these microphones.
Right.
It's, I will still be surprised if he comes off the bench, but it was couched as a game or two thing. I mean,
right.
Everyone knows he will, And so I don't think it matters that much whether he comes off the bench.
I honestly thought the question you asked, which might have been the second question or something, was important and one of the interesting things. Because you asked if the counseling or such as it was, is going to be an ongoing thing or if he's done.
Right.
And he said, I'm not, 2 weeks does not make me all better. And it is going, now what it looks like, who knows? But I do think there is some humility in that and there's some recognition that it squares with what any of us would think about reality in that.
Yeah. Now I felt that was an important sort of thing to try to establish. Now the lack of follow-up leaves open the question of what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to keep deploying the same techniques I learned? Or I'm going to be involved with the same program and some kind of official clinical kind of outpatient-y kind of basis. And that we don't know, but he did allow that this is an ongoing process of, that the counseling he did in Florida is something in some form that will carry through, into the present and to some degree the future at least.
The two places he was sort of pushed back sort of aggressively and sort of got, it's like some hackles isn't exactly right, but... He was very quick to say he didn't have a drinking problem, even though he wasn't asked if he had a drinking problem. And he was very quick to say, I can't talk about these other things. I'm going to be proven right. I can't wait till I have my chance. I was not at fault in any of these incidences that happened around Memphis. What did you make of those things?
So, I mean, the incident that precipitated his absence was, obviously, just to reiterate that what we all know, was a live stream video of him in a club holding a gun in what appeared to be an intoxicated state.
Right.
And so guns and alcohol are central to the issue. He got two questions basically on alcohol. I asked one of those two. He got two questions about guns. But to your point, the two questions he got about alcohol, neither of them suggested or asked him if he had a problem, even though that is how he answered it.
Right.
And the two questions about guns, no one asked him, to this day no one has asked him, was there a gun involved in the Indiana incident?
Right.
Because he has actually never said there wasn't. He's been dismissive of the whole general thing, but he's never explicitly said he wasn't. He wasn't even asked. And so that's why I say this could have been much harder grilling for him. On the alcohol front, I think we can surface this a little bit now because he surfaced it himself. He was responding not to the two questions he was asked. He was responding to rumors have been out there about him, right? The first question came from Tim McMahon from ESPN, and I'm paraphrasing. I mean, the audio is out there. Anyone can go watch or listen. But he basically said, what role did alcohol play in some of your poor decision-making, or did alcohol play a role in your poor decision-making, right?
Right.
That is not, do you have a problem? That was like, what role did it play in these incidents, right? And his response was, I don't have an alcohol problem. I didn't go to counseling for alcohol. And then my question was a little bit more specific, and this is something that may have warranted a follow-up, but I couldn't have it, and it was that I pointed out that the NBA, Adam Silver's own press release or own statement asserted that he was intoxicated when he had the gun.
Right.
My question was, I don't know how you determine that. Is that something you talk to Adam Silver about? Because I can't watch a video and say this guy's intoxicated, so I'm wondering where that conclusion comes from and whether the issue of alcohol was discussed with Adam Silver, and he just gave the same response, I don't have an alcohol problem. And again, neither of the questions asserted that he had an alcohol problem. But clearly he was sensitive to the suggestion that's been out there in other places that he does, right?
Yeah, and my view, it's funny, I have no idea whether he, quote-unquote, has an alcohol problem.
Right. And we have never asserted
that he did.
This is the first time we've ever talked about this because he brought it up himself.
I'll also say this, lots of people who have alcohol problems say, I don't have an alcohol problem. Right. That is true. And it's also true that alcohol can cause problems for you, which the Adam Silver statement seemed to indicate this did, even if, quote unquote, you don't have some broader problem.
Right.
Clearly part of the problem.
That was the implication of Tim's question. It wasn't like this plays a role in these incidents. It's not, you know.
And the gun stuff, it's just like, hard to get to because he just says, I don't believe in violence. Well, no one who does. Right. You know, who's going to say, yes, I'm pro-violence. I'm pro-gun violence, right? Like, no one's going to say that. But, like, lots of people in Memphis have pro-guns, like, whatever. So, anyway, those are the places I think where he mostly pushed back a little bit. One thing that was strange was the social media question because he's tweeted yesterday. And he said, what do you think that referred to?
He's been very invested in social media, and I think there are people out there, and I don't think you and I are among them, but there are people, probably younger people than us, who are very invested in the idea of him being invested in social media, right? Like, I'm happy to not follow him on social media, and I don't. I don't follow him on Instagram, actually. I follow him on Twitter. But I think social media is such a huge thing for his generation. It's been such a huge thing for him personally. And obviously the thing that finally precipitated this was him broadcasting something on social media. So that was also an obvious thing I thought to ask him about.
Jeffrey thinks, because he said, I'm not doing any of that, and on the same day that he tweeted. So Jeffrey thinks it meant, I'm not going to go Instagram live anymore.
Right.
He has still turned off his mentions, which is probably healthy. So you can't see what the vitriol that
I didn't think
are
he was saying, I am abandoning social media, which obviously he is not.
Right.
I think he was saying, I'm reading in, but I think what I picked up from what he put down was, I am going to radically change the way I use social media.
Right. In terms of the broader stuff, one of the things that struck me that who knows how this is going to go, and he said himself, actions speak louder than words, it's an ongoing process, all of that. I do wonder if it has shifted the relationship between the Grizzlies and Ja in an important way. You know, they talk about accountability and that sort of
thing. Could be better or worse. Could be worse or better, to my point.
But I guess, I'm wondering if it could be better.
Yes.
Like if they were felt fundamentally powerless to nudge him and now if there is this universal recognition that things have to change, if they can now do the things that some might have said they should have been doing all along in terms of, quote, accountability. I'm talking into the void here because I have no idea what it used to look like or what it looked like now.
No, but I think that's a very, very legitimate line of inquiry or line of thought. And I think there's reason to wonder about the Grizzlies have never had a star of this magnitude, right?
Right.
And you bring him in that young, and you want to tie him so fully to the organization, to the city,
and in doing so,
do you risk catering the things you shouldn't have catered to? Again, I don't know if that's the case, but that's a totally rational thing to wonder
about. What have we seen that with LeBron? Everywhere he goes, people wonder whether they cater excessively to LeBron.
That's right.
Right?
It almost comes with the territory of having a certain level of star, which, you know, as good as Pau Gasol was and Zach Randolph was and Marc Gasol, they're not this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about all of that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he'll be back tonight, presumably. I mean, it was interesting that he cast a little doubt on him playing at all. Taylor Jenkins did not.
Did not, yeah.
So, I mean, he's going to play tonight. We all know he's going to get a thunderous applause, which I think is totally fine and warranted.
Yep.
And hopefully he'll be comfortable. He'll get comfortable out there and play well. And we can, you know, get back to some degree to the basketball itself.
Well, it's funny. He will presumably play tonight, and if he'll play tonight, he'll talk tonight, and it will be about basketball.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I would assume
all those things probably true. Windhorst wrote about the thing that you've been talking about for a while now, which is this sort of the Supermax and whether he can be an all NBA team and whether he will therefore get a Supermax. I really do think it is in jeopardy. But he did point out, and this is something I'd wondered about. Would it behoove the Grizzlies for him not to get the Supermax, or would it behoove him to get the Supermax, or doesn't it matter?
I think it would behoove the Grizzlies for him to not get the Supermax, but it would not behoove the Grizzlies for them to seem like they don't want him to get the Supermax.
It would mean, according to Windhorst, and you may already know this math, $7 million less on the books for next year.
Yeah, over the course of the 5 years, you're averaging roughly $10 million of extra sort of wiggle room. Yeah, something like that.
In terms of, though, does it, like I guess you're seeing this with Jalen, but does it, Do you want to be paying the Supermax? Because when you're re-upping him, it enables you to pay him more? Like, in other words, is there
No, I wouldn't worry about that at this point, just because the CBA is going to change
so dramatically.
Yeah, and I think people sort of think that some of those rules around keeping your own player and extensions and all that are probably going to change anyway.
Grizzlies now back in second.
Yep.
As you forecast, you said they may
real
well.
Real good chance of staying there. They got like a game and a half at this point. They have the easiest remaining schedule.
Could be two tonight. It's funny, though, like because we have no idea. So right now, second would mean playing in the winner of a play-in game between Oklahoma City and Dallas.
I look at this morning. I tweeted it out. There are like 11 games to go, and there are literally 9 potential first-round opponents for the Grizzlies.
Is that true?
Yes. I mean, I'm including Phoenix, and that would mean Grizzlies dropping down to third and Phoenix dropping down to sixth, so that's probably not likely, but mathematically still likely, and at least 8, like, very, very realistic potential opponents.
And so it's just impossible to know. Like, if you're if you happen to fall to third, right now that would get you Golden State, but Golden State is a game behind the Clippers, who just lost what appears to be, at least for at least some limited period of time, it seems like, Paul George. So would you like to play the Clippers without Paul George?
I think if you're the Grizzlies, I mean, we can talk about this, but if you're the Grizzlies, I think your thing now is let's get Ja Morant back in the fold. Let's get our rhythm. Let's get our rotation together. Let's try to be playing our best basketball. And then with like 3 games left in the regular season,
then you
stop and reassess everything and figure out, do you want to rest guys? Do you want to do like the Grizzlies have done before and say, well, maybe we'd rather be 3 than 2 or whatever, you know, then you can look.
A, it's like impossible now because you don't know where anyone else is going to be, and B, it's impossible now because you don't know who else anyone's going to have. So it's just
Worry about being your own best self, and then when there's like 3 games left, stop and have a meeting and figure out how you want to play out the very end game of the season.
All right. I don't know when this Melvin Purdy's thread went up yesterday.
That was great.
Barbecue and old school centers, but you like barbecue and you like centers.
This is content that was made
right
for me.
Your sweet spot.
It really is.
So I'll ask you some of the comparisons. So he goes central. He compares to Hakeem Olajuwon. And has everything great. Known as the top in their field, but also similar to how Olajuwon makes you say, O.S., he has footwork like a guard, but you say, O.S., they got Central Barbecue and some of the best wings ever. Do you like the...
I think, you know, the dry rub wings are the dream shake of their menu, so I go with that. He's probably a little, just slight...
Higher on Central
Barbecue. I like Central Barbecue. Let me be very clear. I like Central Barbecue quite a bit. He's probably, but I love Hakeem Olajuwon, so he's probably slightly more effusive than I would be there. But his point about like the range of quality, absolutely on point.
Barbecue shop, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Two-way player, Central Barbecue.
Two-way player. Yeah. Barbecue shop, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Both went through a name change. I didn't even know this. Named Brady and Lil.
Yeah, that's a little bit before my time, but I am familiar.
Both considered at the top of their craft, and both have a signature move. The barbecue spaghetti is the barbecue shop's skyhook.
No notes. Perfect. Perfect comp.
Perfect.
Barbecue spaghetti is the skyhook.
I'm going to have to go get the barbecue spaghetti. In terms of barbecue dishes in Memphis, you would put it in, like, I know you would put the Payne sandwich up in your top 5, wouldn't you?
Oh yes.
100%. And maybe the Central Wings and the... But I think you would put this barbecue spaghetti would be
one
of your top 5.
Well, the thing about, I haven't had the barbecue spaghetti at a barbecue shop in a few years. I'm going to revisit that myself soon. My memory of it is the first bite is the best thing, the single best thing. The last bite,
maybe not.
There's a lot going on with the barbecue
spaghetti. Well, there must be a player who that would then compare to. I don't know who that would be. But all right, Rendezvous Bill Russell, staple, always dominated the game for years, always going to get some respect. But the game has evolved, and there are a couple better ones out there that have a little more skill to them.
Facts.
Paynes, Joel Embiid, plays can easily the best if it wants to, but if it was available open longer, it would be. But the days it's open, it's fire. Best pull park sandwich in town. Is it known for not being available? Is it an availability issue?
I don't know about that.
Paynes?
I think during some of the COVID stuff, it was a little more sketchy on open and not open, and they don't close. I think it was more questionable in that period than it is now. But, I mean, given the location and given, I think it is a little, there's probably a little more uncertainty about it than a lot of the other places. So I'm not going to quibble too much. I'm going to say that I approve of that comparison.
Corky's is Dwight Howard. dominant for a time. The things they do can hang with the best of them, but they seem to be forgotten in the conversation the best and bring them up in the area. I don't know. What'd you make of that one?
I think mileage varies depending on probably your age and what part of town you live and some of that kind of stuff. Certainly for me, Corky's was something I thought about more when I was in high school than I do now. I don't think that's true of everybody in Memphis, but for me, I haven't been to Corky's in a long time.
Tops is Bob Pettit, Memphis original.
Right.
I like to call them McDonald's of barbecue, but it may not be most people's top choice, but still do their thing in the world of Bill Russell and Wilts, especially off their burgers alone. Bob Pettit.
I'm a fan of any Bob Pettit reference. We can work into Bob anything. Yeah.
Leonard's is George Mikan. I don't believe I've ever been to Leonard's.
Gone but not forgotten. I think
is Leonard's, it gone? I think there's still some Leonard's of new ownership stuff.
I think they're going to reemerge. I think they are off the board at the moment. People can correct me if I'm wrong about that. I think Leonard has gone away awaiting a comeback, I believe is the case.
Cozy Corner is Shaq. Easily top three. Never overthink the recipe. Just simple but effective. Never can go wrong. Cornish Hen is their 2000 Shaq MVP. I think of the Cozy Corner as a little quieter than Shaq, like as a little more of a sneaky good place rather than
maybe. But I think his point about the simplicity of the menu of the approach, just a pure
you
power.
Went just yesterday,
just I did go yesterday. Just a pure power game. I like that. I like Shaq as Cozy Corner.
Interstate, I've also never been to. Is Patrick Ewing?
That's a particularly good camp.
Why is that such a good camp?
Because elite in its day and a little bit more forgotten, but still one of the all-timers. Yeah.
I've never been there. Germantown is Marc Gasol.
Well, that's great. I'm one of the biggest Marc Gasol fans, so I have no shade. But.
Right, exactly right. Just a little far, stays away from the basket out there, but in the suburbs. Tom's I've never been to either.
I have
Wallace.
Never been to Tom's. That's the one I've never been to, yeah.
And I know that when everybody talks about rib tips. When it comes to Tom's, I know that enough to know about Tom's and know rib tips, but I don't know even if I've had a rib tip. So there you go. He's now done it with wings too. And I haven't read that one yet, but anyway. All right, Chris, we appreciate it. You've got a piece up. I tweeted it out yesterday. I believe it went up, but it is about all the things the Grizzlies did and the ways in which they evolved as Ja was gone. 6-3. Is that what they were? 6-3 while he
six
was
and
gone.
Three.
6-3 while he was gone. Now he is back. You can read that at The Daily Memphian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.